toll that because of the procession that was made into the city. Jesus as the head of that procession. Crowds coming out to throw down palm branches and coats to honor him, to praise him. The entry is called a triumphal entry, only in the sense of what Jesus was about to accomplish in a global sense, in an eternal sense. For the crowds, their exuberance only showed how mistaken they were about Jesus' ministry. Not global, but being arriving in Jerusalem to throw out Rome and restore things to the way they were. Not realizing what terrible things were about to transpire. And maybe they would even be pissed. These events were set in the annual Passover. One of the things that I love about the Christian calendar is that Easter occurs approximately at the same time as the crucifixion. So when Easter comes around, when Lent comes around every year, I start thinking these events were anchored to this time. Passover was the meal that Jesus ate with his disciples. This scene that Nancy read to us occurs on Palm Sunday, 1 week before the resurrection. On Thursday, Jesus eats this meal with his disciples. On Friday, he is beaten and hung on the cross. This is a meal that you need to figure out is actually eaten ahead of the actual Passover day, which would have been Saturday. Jesus sets this up, this whole observation. I say to the disciples, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into the city. I want you to get a house for us. And we're going to eat Passover tonight. Maybe even some of them are going, wait, Passover's not consumed. Why should we be interested? That's the big question. Why should we be interested in this? Well, it's because Jesus said, with Paul reports this in 1 Corinthians, he said to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. And in Acts, we see case after case of the disciples coming together on the first day of the week to break bread. A euphemism for probably eating the second time. So they were following Jesus' instructions, really, when they got together. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to tell you this story again, but I know you all know the cutting off the end of the message. But I want to tell it to you in 2 days. One day, on Christmas or Thanksgiving, a young woman asks her mother, "Mother, why do we cut off the end of the ham before we cook it?" And her mother says, "You know, I don't really know. I'll ask Mommy." "Mother, why did we cut off the end of the ham?" She said, "Well, the pan that I cooked the ham in was too short to cook the full ham in. So we cut off the end of the ham." Makes sense, doesn't it? Second telling. Some daughter asked, "Mom, why did we cut off the end of the ham?" mom says, I'm glad you asked me. I've been looking for a time to tell you that. We loved my mom. Our whole family loved my mom so much. She was so hospitable and generous. And she cut off the end of the ham because of her pan, the baking pan. But we've continued to do it, and we always kind of do it with a smile, saying, oh, yes, this brings back all these memories of that woman and what she meant. Two very different things. I would submit to you that we are often guilty of doing the same thing. We forget the connection. We forget why we do it. We ritualize it. Let me tell you a story or two of it. But we forget why we cut off the end of the hand. It's something we do weekly, once a month, twice a year, or annually. We don't know why. Lord's Supper began in the early church with Jesus giving his disciples different metaphors to think about the Lord's Supper. This is my body, he said. This is my blood. I really think that year one after this Passover they never, ever again thought of the Lord's Supper, in the same way. They couldn't drink the cup, they couldn't eat the bread without thinking about Jesus. In the Passover, in the Egypt Passover, these important elements were part of it. First, there was a lamb. Remembered in a traditional Jewish Passover today, with the presence of a lamb sanctified on a plate. Remember that? Remember that lamb that died for us, so we could smear its blood on the lintels of our house. Remember that? And of course, they ate the lamb. Something I want you to notice is how tactful the Lord's Supper, or the Passover meal was. So tactful. Experience. Touch. Have you ever been reminded something in the aroma? Once we're going in the house here in the bed, gardens were filling manure into their garden with flower beds. And I smelled it. And it's been decades since I thought about it. But rushing into my consciousness was that lovely smell of manure that my grandfather used to put on his bed. I started thinking about that. That's what lamb did. For anybody who knew what it stood for. It stood for all those lambs. Thousands and thousands of lambs whose throat was cut and their blood colored to put on the lintel of the lamb. Second, unleavened bread. The ancient Jews did not have time to put yeast and flour and pass it to the ladies. Because they were going to have to leave early. So, God's instruction to them was to use unleavened flour and water and a little salt. So from that point on, whenever a Jewish family sat down to eat the Passover meal, they had unleavened bread. And in today's observance of the Passover, I think it probably wasn't that case in Egypt, but in today's observance, 4 cups of wine. These cups stand for sanctification, cup of sanctification, plagues or rescue, redemption, and praise. With those 4 cups of drunk. Brings to mind those ideas. Again, remember how tactile it's touching and tasting and drinking and smelling and reliving in the stories that are told at the table. Why this is important. Jews give great attention to telling the story of Israel in Egypt when they eat the Passover. That's its whole function. Is to tell that story. Children participate in the meal. In fact, during the meal, one child will ask the 4 questions, pre-programmed questions, that get at the story, that retell the story. Jews were really good at this. After they crossed the Jordan River to go into Canaan, Joshua, with God's instructions, told the people to take a pylon, to build a pylon of 12 large river rocks on the other side, on the Canaan side of the Jordan River. And get this. They said, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? You can tell them the story. You can tell them the story. The first Lord's Supper was born in Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples secured a location for eating the Passover together. However, Jesus completely recast its meaning. I have a plaque over my desk that says a man's mindset to the idea to never return to its original. And Jesus was recasting this idea. He was stretching them to this new life. So, the disciples and Jesus secure this house, and they go in and they sit down on the floor. This is how they were treated in those days. And they celebrated this new life. You know, we cut the Lord's Supper away from Sanford very often. You could go away from the service of the Lord's Supper and not really know anything about what it means. We had a man in Lodi who used to, when he would do the table talk there, would go to the front and he would say, okay, you know why we're here. Let's pray. Well, maybe not. Or maybe we need to have our memories refreshed. Orville, why are you embarrassed to tell us this story? In Egypt, each household sacrificed its own. If there wasn't enough people in the family to eat one lamb, they would invite their family, whatever, and to not waste the lamb. And the Bible, the New Testament, draws very heavily from the imagery of that meal. John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. I have a picture of a lamb tied up, laying on an altar. That I use a lot. It's one of my favorite images. Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Revelation is full of the image of the slaughtered lamb. And Peter speaks of being ransomed by the precious blood of Christ like a lamb. So would you take your Lord's Supper and take the bread out, please? Hold it in your hand. One of the things that I don't like about our modern day celebration of the Lord's Supper is that it's so lax. These tactile experiences, a little piece of bread, given. How do we remember? It takes more discipline, it takes more talking. Jesus said, "Take eat, this is my body." Now, some people interpret that literally. That's fine. I really don't think that's how Jesus meant it. I mean, I think he meant that it represents my body. It represents. So, would you eat the bread? Would you not eat it quickly? Taste it? Think about Jesus' lamb. Think about the history of life. Mm-hmm. It's in the difference. Lord, thankful we are for these visual recollections of your life, what your life meant to us. Please bless our eating this bread. Help us to not take it for granted, to not ritualize it or forget its significance in Jesus' name, I pray. Blood plays a really big role in saving the Lord, the Eucharist, part of the Passover, and the Lord's Supper. Jews would not have been saved had they not anointed their doors with that lamb's blood. Jesus takes the third cup of redemption. After that cup has been poured, Jesus says, "Drink this. This is the new covenant. This is my blood." Again, they would never think of a cup of wine the same way ever. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus cleanses us." Acts 20:28. Says the church was purchased with his blood. People don't value the church. They don't think of it as insignificant or unimportant. They don't understand that God purchased us with the blood of his son. Ephesians 1:7 says we have redemption through his blood. So Jesus says, "Take the cup and you pray." Lord, we give thanks to you for this cup. We don't drink it hurriedly. We drink it and we bring what it costs you so that we could be participating in this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Something that I didn't mention is in a modern telling, a modern Passover service, they would have three pieces of matzah. Matzah is this unleavened bread that you can buy in boxes. And they would have something like this, definitely just more for ceremonial purposes than anything. But there's three compartments in here. And so three pieces of matzah would be put in this envelope. And it would be sitting there on the table. Modern telling of the story. The father, the one, whoever that is at the table conducting the service, would take the middle matzah out and break it in half, and someone, some adult, would take and hide it. And the children would be dispatched to go find. This is called, this broken piece of bread, it's called the Afikoman. And the child would go find the Afikoman and bring it back. They're thinking Egypt. Jesus takes that same piece of bread and he breaks it in front of them. He says, take eat, this is my body. Just like the bread, the Afikoman that is hidden, his body is hidden in the grave. There's so much rich analogy and metaphor in this meal. So how do you make sense of what we've discussed? How do you think about it and relate to it in your life? Important questions, because they're really attached to our witness. So whenever somebody is standing here to do table talk, they're giving witness. An important concept, because Paul says, as often as you eat this, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes. And so it's our way of saying to the people who listen, this is about him. I think we have two choices regarding this meal. The first is that it's only a ritual, which is what dying load idea. Something you can do without if you need to. How many of us actually, if we miss a Lord's Day service and Lord's Supper, feel empty because we didn't have the Lord's Supper? And I think that's the power of this meal. I once heard a church leader, a small southern church, 100, 200 members, something like that, who told me proudly that they had trimmed the Lord's Supper to 10 minutes. And I was aghast that somebody would ever say that they would admit to it, that they had reduced the Lord's Supper to how quickly they could. It of all things is simple. Like divinity, who we are. The other choice is that it's tightly connected to the death of Jesus. This is probably the most specific thing that I will say, but in terms of implications, but there's gotta be a connection. It's got to say, for example, this happened to me today, and it caused me to think of Jesus who did this. Connection. Not blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, let's take to this. You can see why that would be such. To the one who gave it up. Here's some final thoughts. The Lord's Supper that is tightly connected to anything other than Jesus is no commemoration. Like how it would be if the ancient Jews used Passover to talk about how wonderful it was to move. I think that complaints I've heard before in other contexts is that Lord's Supper is boring. Or when it comes to the Lord's Supper, I feel bad. And in my opinion, I guess my reaction to that is that the New Testament is full of the Lord's Supper. The New Testament is full of the cross. And that's where we should be spending our time. There is a document on our website, easily found, called Biblical Texts for the Lord's Supper. And there's texts here from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews, all about the cross. Finally, I think that the power of the weekly Eucharist is to help us see the connection between our lives and the life that Jesus gives. That's why you're whenever watching or tell stories about this, it's wonderful because it shows us the connection between that. Very important. We have friends from college who left college in 69 or 70 or 68. And went to third world countries, served their lives. Not really having that. Serving in some scarcity. Reminds me of there's a group, I don't know a lot about it. I think it's one way missionaries, I think it's this time. And all the missionaries in this group who decide to go to some place take all of their belongings and pack it in. And that's how they do it. Because they're making a commitment to you. The story I'm most familiar with is a missionary who did that. He went to a cannibalistic site. He would kill everybody else in the body. For some reason, they didn't kill him. And he saved their life. And one of the neighbors said, when he came, it was all done. And when he died, it was all done. Wow. Because people are getting and saying things like that, the connection between that. That's what the word suffering is meant to do. That's what tabletops are meant to do. I hope that maybe I've been doing this thinking about this. I hope I've encouraged you. Go to our website, blasphemychurch.net. That's easy to do. Type table talk in the search box. And all these resources. And a lot of things. If you ever feel dry, go read. Read what the Bible says. And I guarantee you, in a dry drought. And I hope that I'm disappointed with people. But I hope that you will ask them to listen. Dear Father, you taught us a lot in the wilderness. Israel in the wilderness alone, dependency on you, feeding the 5,000, and those taught the disciples, generosity and faith. The meal at Zechariah's house taught us hospitality. I pray that we would learn amazement and wonder as we observe the Lord's Supper today. Excite our imagination.